We bless you, Master. And Father, we come to you this morning in the mighty name of Jesus, asking for your forgiveness, for your mercies, your grace, your counsel, correction, and direction. Repenting for every sin, transgression, and iniquity. Everything that we said, thought, and every deed that we've done that's offended you in any way whatsoever. We ask for your forgiveness. Wash us with the blood. Purge us with your presence and fill us with the Holy Spirit again. Come, Holy Spirit, take your rightful place. Come establish your kingdom and bring us to the throne room of our Father. Help us. Help us to come to the end of ourselves. Grant revelation, confirmation, and manifestation. Bring conviction where conviction is needed. Bring healing where healing is needed. Open eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to receive what the Spirit is saying as we muzzle every mouth of the voice of the stranger that will come against the people of God here in the name of Jesus. And we promise to give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. How's everybody today? Amen. And to God be the glory. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it, no matter what you're going through. The Bible says what? Count it all joy. Count it what? All joy. You know, the joy of the Lord is your strength. So if you're miserable, make sure you don't tell nobody you know Jesus. You go home, get in your closet, get filled with the Spirit, and be joyful again. Then you can tell people you know Jesus, because my Jesus is not miserable. Amen. Praise God. You know, and right now, there's such a draw of God. There's such a drawing of Him right now where, you know, yeah, there might be a lot of things happening in your life and your family and all kinds of stuff and all, you know. And it's just because God's drawing. God is drawing. And, you know, when he begins to draw, the powers of darkness begin to perk up. And they begin to perk up. And when they begin to perk up, they begin to attack. They begin to use. They begin to do everything they can because they know they're going to be exposed and be removed. Because God has preordained it. So, in other words, you're not here by coincidence. You're here because God sent you here. Amen? It's not a coincidence. There's no coincidence. It's not a maybe or what if. It's a absolute. So we're all gathered together today so that we can hear what the Spirit is saying to His church, His body, His children, His offspring. So that we can gain revelation and impartation, not from a man, but from the Spirit. And right now, God is drawing, and I'm going to share something with you that we spoke about last night. We had a very sweet service last night, and there was a powerful prophetic afterwards, and just wonderful things that had happened. And one of the things that the Spirit was saying, He said, I am drawing my people almost like violently. Well, in other words, there's not enough time to be playing games. In other words, people are going to have to make choices of who they're going to serve now. There is not enough time is running out. And you don't know what moment or what day or what second that you're going to be called home. Hello? Or that something is going to happen. You know, grace only goes so far. I don't know how far, but it goes so far. I can't give you the limitations on it, but I know that the age of grace ends with the Feast of Trumpets. And that's the next event that's going to happen. And that is the removal of the body of Christ. That is the end of grace. But in the meantime, we're walking in grace. And grace in the areas where God is releasing His plan. And His plan is being released by the Spirit of grace. Is everybody all right? And the Spirit of grace knows all truth. He is the anointing. Jesus came as the Christ, as the anointed one with all the eternal power, wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and truth. So that He could release it to me and you. Does everybody understand? Now, we're going to go somewhere today, and so just hang tough. But it's something important that we need to have an impartation of why certain things are happening. And why God is drawing. You know, even in certain areas of when God releases judgment and so forth, it's not to condemn His people, it's to awaken them. You know, when a mother or father chastens a child, they spank him or do whatever because they love them. And God does the same thing to the planet. Is everybody with me? He's not there to condemn us. He's there, in other words, right now there's a tremendous shaking. I mean, look at all the earthquakes. Look at all the things, the volcanoes, the oil spills, floods, tsunami. All of these things that are happening is God is shaking and awakening. And something's happening in your life where you're being awakened to because it's God's time. And if we don't catch this awakening, we may miss when he comes. And one of the things you don't want to do is miss the visitation of the Lord. Is everybody okay? Go to Acts chapter 1 for a second. Acts chapter 1. Now Jesus' disciples were with him for about 3.5 years. And they saw wonderful miracle signs and wonders. And Jesus died, rose from the dead. And he hung around for 40 days. In verse 4. And being assembled together with them, he what? Wait a minute now. Did he ask him? He commanded. He commanded. If God commands you, you think you need to obey it? Amen. He commanded them not to what? Depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the what? For the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. Now he's going to explain the promise. Verse 5. Acts chapter 1 and verse 5. Is everybody there? Hallelujah. Now I want us to read this together so that understanding is birthed. For John truly baptized with what? Water. But you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So we see that there are what? Two baptisms. There's the baptism of water, and there's the baptism of the Spirit. And in verse 8 he says, But you shall receive what? Power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And in this, so many people have been baptized in water, but never baptized in the Holy Spirit. And it's a command to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Jesus commanded us to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And there is a difference between being baptized in water and baptism of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, you may ask somebody if they've been baptized in the Holy Spirit and they'll have to think about it. You know they haven't. Because you know when you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. There is a difference. There is a change. There is an area of open door in the spirit realm. Being baptized in water is different than being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And it was a command from Jesus to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Go to Revelation 19. Revelation 19. And it says when you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you will have power. Right? Power. You know, people think that money brings power. No, brings bondage. Unless it's used correctly. Revelation 19 and verse 1. Read it. After these things, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Alleluia. Salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, because he has judged the harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication. He has avenged on her the blood of his servants shed by her. In other words, the ones that she killed. And again they said, Alleluia. Their smoke rises up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshipped God who sat on the throne saying, Amen, Alleluia. Then a voice came from the throne saying, Praise our God, all you servants, and those who fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. The what? The Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. Now there's something I want to point out here, and it's in at the end of verse 6 where it says, the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Lord God omnipotent. In other words, he is all-powerful. He is has unlimited power and authority. Everywhere you see in the Bible says Lord God, it means unlimited power and the authority. He is the author of everything. Has everybody got it? Where it says Lord God, he is omnipotent. So he is really the Lord of the spirits. Has everybody got it? He is the Lord of the what? Spirits. Go to Genesis 2. And what does Lord God mean? All unlimited power and authority. He is omnipotent. In Genesis chapter 2, in verse 7. Would you read it? And the what? And the Lord God. What's the Lord God mean? Omnipotent. Amen. Unlimited power and authority. What did he do? He what? Formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a what? A living being. Man became a what? A living being. Let's go on a little further. And then the Lord God what? He planted a garden, so he made a garden. Do you all see this? The Lord God. In other words, he created these things. He made these things. And he made a garden in Eden, and the eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed or created. And out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the... So he created the trees, didn't he? To the sight, pleasant to the sight, and good for the food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, a river went out of Eden to water the garden. Now, what? Wait a minute. When a river. Say river. Everyone say I'm a river person. Because I come from the river. When I'm born of the Spirit, I come from the river. We'll get there. And from there, it parted and became what? Four river heads. So God allowed a river to flow to feed the garden. Does everybody understand? Now, who was in the garden? The man. And what was the river providing to? The tree of what? Life and all the other trees. Does everybody get it? So the river of life, which is known as the river, was providing life by producing a tree of life. And providing life into every area in that arena. And out of that came four other rivers. Is everybody with me? Now, I want to go a little bit further. Let's see what else he did. In verse 18. And the Lord God, what? God, omnipotent with unlimited power and authority, said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a help or comparable to him. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed what? So he created what? Animals. Created the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and he brought them to Adam, and he allowed Adam to name them. Because Adam was in his image and likeness. So Adam was also granted power and authority. And whatever Adam called each living creature that it was named. So Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God, The what? Omnipotent, unlimited power and authority caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. And then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. Now, this is powerful because we see that this river that was supplying to the garden, and then out of the garden came four of the rivers. But this river that was bringing forth is symbolic. So not only that, you have to have water in the natural realm, don't you, to live. But there's a realm in the spirit. There is a spiritual realm where a river flows that God is allowing his people to drink from. And in this river is coming forth the army of God in the river. And we'll talk more about this in a second. But in this, the Lord God, all powerful and all authority, is the author of all creation because he is omnipotent. And I want you to remember the area where it says Lord God and understand where it says Lord representing power. Power. Is everybody okay? Go to Numbers 27. Numbers 27, 15. See, we dance in the river every Friday night, and we should be drinking from the river. Verse 15, then Moses spoke to the Lord, saying, let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation who may go out before them and go in before them, who may lead them out and bring them into that congregation of the Lord, and may not be like sheep which have no shepherd. And the Lord said to Moses, take Joshua the son of Nun with you, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand on him. Set him before Eleazar, the priest, and before all the congregation, and inaugurate him in their sight. In other words, ordain him. This is how people are ordained, by the Spirit. Not by knowledge. Not by a certificate. By the Spirit. They are ordained by the Spirit. Not because you've passed the test and you got into a position. Not because of how much you know. It's because God ordained you by the Spirit. It's different. And you shall give some of your authority to him. Now, wait a minute. Did Joshua have the Spirit? Amen. And you shall give him some of your authority to him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. And he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall inquire before the Lord for him by the judgment of the Urim. At this word, at his word, they shall go out, and at his word they shall come in. He and all the children of Israel with him, all the congregation. So Moses did as the Lord commanded him. He took Joshua and set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation, and he laid his hands on him and inaugurated him or ordained him, just as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. And again, here it is. God is the Lord God. He is the Lord of the spirits. Are we all spirits? Amen. And this is how he ordains. This is how he sends people. It's amazing how people go and try to do their own thing without being sent. This is called divine order. Is everybody okay? This is divine order. There is a time and place. And it has to do with the spirit. It's got nothing to do with education. It's got nothing to do with how many schools you've gone to. This is ordained by the Spirit of God in his time and not our own. Why? Because he is the Lord of the what? Spirits. 2 Corinthians 3. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 4. For we have such trust through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant. Ministers of what? The new covenant. Not of the letter, but of the... Oh, so it's the ministry of the what? Spirit. For the letter does what? Kills, but the Spirit gives Come on, let's repeat this again. Verse 6, who has also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills and the Spirit gives life. But if the ministry of death written and engraved on stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? Awesome. How could it not be what? More glorious. It is the ministry of the Spirit. The ministry of the Spirit is a representation of breath and water. It is spiritual water. It is a spiritual drink. It is associated with breath. In other words, things that you speak. But to maintain it, you must drink. Is everybody with me? It is the ministry of the Spirit so that you speak, but to speak the things of the Spirit, you drink of the things of the Spirit. It is a spiritual drink. It comes from the river of life. And Jesus offered this to the Samaritan woman who came to the well. And she didn't get it. She said, wait a minute. Of course, Jesus exposed her, right? He exposed her because she was shacking up with a dude. And he said, this has been the fifth one. She said, you must be a prophet. And so he said to her, you know, I've got something better to drink than what's in this well. But she was more concerned about how was he going to get it out of the well. But you have nothing to draw with. He said, I'm not talking about this water, sister. I'm talking about the river of life that I've come to bring you. And if you'll follow all the way, you'll see that I'm going to command you to be baptized in the Holy Spirit so you can drink of this river. And when you drink of this river, and out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. And you'll be able to see the things of the spirit realm. You'll be able to understand the things of the spirit realm. And you won't just be understanding by letter. And I will give you the anointing which will break the yoke and will tell you things to come and bring you into the deep rivers of God. Of course, she took off then. And she went to go tell everybody, man, this guy knows my dirty laundry. He must be a prophet. I think maybe he's the one we're looking for. But understand that there is a river of life. He is the Lord, the creator of everything. He predestined it. He is the Lord of the Spirit. Spirit meaning what you speak through breath. It is the ministry of the Spirit. But to do that, you must drink of the Spirit. Or the word is not backed by the anointing. Then it's just letter. Try to memorize things. Memorization. It isn't memorization, it's visualization. There's a difference. People go to school to try to learn to memorize. Let me tell you, in a spirit, it's visualization, not memorization. It's different. Because the Spirit will quicken to you, and you'll know what to say when it's time to say it. Let's go to verse 15. Is everybody there? Let's read it. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the what? Lord. The Lord. The veil is taken away. Now, this is powerful because he's going to tell you who the Lord is. And what's the next verse? Now, the Lord is the... Oh, hallelujah. The Lord is the what? The Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty or freedom. Why? Because the Lord, powerful, omnipotent, with unlimited power and authority, is saying, drink from this river. I'll remove the scales from your eyes, the hardening of your heart. He will give you a new spirit. He is the giver of life by drinking of the river of life. It is an eternal drink to fulfill the ministry of the Spirit so that you and I would have power to see spiritually. Not only to see spiritually, but to understand the things of the Spirit. Go to Ephesians 6. Ephesians chapter 6. So there's an arena that we must maintain this, isn't it? And that's why people praise and worship with all their heart to get filled with the Spirit. That's how you drink. Amen. So if you're not a worshiper, it means that you're not baptized in the Spirit. Because you don't desire that drink. Does everybody got it? That's another arena. Why? Because you know you got to have it. You know, you look for the river to drink. You're willing to go wherever it takes to get that drink. Because you thirst for it. In Ephesians chapter 6, in verse 10. Ephesians 6 and verse 10. Would you read it with me, please? Finally, my brethren, be what? Strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Be what? Strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Now, I want to share with you what that is talking about. He's saying, be strong in the Spirit. Are you listening? Be strong in the Spirit with what? Be strong in the Spirit with His anointing power. So he's saying, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. What is he saying? He's saying, be strong in the Spirit with His anointing power, which is only established by the baptism of the Holy Spirit, is where He really becomes Lord over your life. This is where He becomes Lord. He becomes Lord over your life when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit. Why? Because you can't obey Him without power. Has everybody got it? And not only that, the Spirit of Christ, the Lord, is now in you through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Is everybody okay? So in this, I'm going to go a little further. So we've got, now, we talked about the two baptisms of water and the baptism of the Spirit. The baptism of water is for the remission of sin. It is symbolic of the washing of the blood to salvation. As Savior. So when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you repent, people get baptized in water, symbolic to that you're accepting Jesus as your Savior. But not Lord. Even though you confess that He's Lord, He can't be your Lord. Why? Because Lord means He has dominion over your life. And you can't give Him dominion over your life without the power of the Holy Spirit to surrender to it. Come on, are you getting this? That's why He commanded them to be baptized in the Holy Spirit so He could be Lord over their life. So there are people who have been baptized in water and they're still He's still not Lord over them. Even though they confess Him as Lord, that's cool. But He really can't Lord their life because they're still in the flesh. Again, you can confess it. But the power to obey as Lord is only established by the baptism of the Holy Spirit and is maintained by position of the drinking of that eternal river. Salvation is the entrance to all things, but not the receiving of all things. Amen. Salvation is the rescue to be repaired and then be empowered and then sent. That's the purpose. Salvation is to be rescued. Then you be repaired. And then you get empowered. And then God sends you. Those that live only in salvation have Jesus as Savior. They see the spiritual realm by what they read of the letter. But they can't see by the Spirit. So they see the spiritual realm only what they read by. They cannot see the things in the Spirit. Because only to see the things in the Spirit, you must be in the Spirit. And to be in the Spirit, you must be baptized in the Spirit. Now He becomes Lord. And now you have power and authority. Is everybody okay? Hallelujah. Verse 11. He says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Well, you can't beat the devil in the flesh. He'll kick your butt every time. So understand that verse 10 is talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He says again in verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. He's talking about getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's how you get the full armor of God on. He's talking, you know, the full armor of God is all talking about being dressed in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because look at the final part of the armor of God. The whole armor of God, wiles of the devil. The people can't see their enemies or understand the enemy's tactics because it is unseen by the natural eye, but seen through the spiritual eyes. And that happens when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 12 first. He says what? But we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. This is Satan's kingdom. And he's telling them, look, you can't fight against them in the flesh. You must be baptized in the Holy Spirit with the full armor of God, which is associated with the Spirit. Or you'll be deceived. You will not be able to see. And then he talks about being dressed in the full armor. So he's expressing what our fight is. And he ends with the final part of the armor of God. And it says this. Go to verse 17. It says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is two different things. The helmet of salvation. Are you with me? Salvation is the entrance. You can't have the sword of the Spirit without being baptized in the Spirit. Amen. It's impossible. Why? Because when you speak the word, it better be backed up by the anointing. And that's where the sword comes from. He said sword of the Spirit, not sword of the letter. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and what? Praying always with all prayer in supplication in the what? Praying in the Spirit means praying in tongues. That means that from verse 10 to verse 18, that they've been baptized in the Holy Spirit with power, with authority, with another language. Getting dressed with the full armor because they've been baptized by the Holy Spirit. He says, sure, take the helmet of salvation, but don't forget the sword of the Spirit. And the sword cannot become the Spirit unless it is baptized in the Spirit. Is everybody okay? He becomes Lord of your life when you are baptized in the Holy Ghost. Why? Because now you have power to obey. Is everybody okay? Power to... See, so many people are still... They're still living in the realm of salvation. They're still living in the realm of salvation. And not living in the realm of the Spirit. See, they're still living in a realm of Savior instead of Lord. See, when He's Lord over your life, you no longer have a life. And that can only happen in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's it. That's why Jesus commanded them to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Or else, we become dry bones. We become dry bones. Go to Mark 16. He is Lord of the spirits, and He is Lord of the Spirit. Mark 16. So when you get to a believer or somebody that's been a believer for many years and you're talking with them and you're realizing, man, there's just certain things not right, or there's more. And they've been a believer for so long, but they don't know the deeper things of the realm. And it's because they've been baptized. They've not been baptized in the Holy Spirit yet. And maybe they didn't know about it. You know, even Paul, when he went up to the upper, in Acts 19, it talks about when Paul went up the upper region of Ephesus, and he ran into believers, and he said, did you get baptized in the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said, what? Say, what? He said, did you get baptized in the Holy Ghost? And they said, man, we don't even know about it. He said, well, come on, let me lay hands on you. And he laid hands on them, and they got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in tongues and prophesy. Why? Because they got power. And that's what the body of Christ is lacking. Listen, there wouldn't be denominations if we were all like-minded. We'd all think alike, according to the mind of Christ, not according to the letter. So when you're in the realm of just salvation, all of your answers are coming from the letter. And that's okay. but there's another arena where your answers are coming from the throne. Amen. And they're confirmed by the letter. Are you listening? There's a difference. See, that's where dreams and visions and things to that degree, and I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and they will prophesy. They will have dreams. They will have visions. And you will be empowered with authority. Now look at this in verse 15 in Mark 16. And what did he do? He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he who believes, what's the word believe mean? To follow. It doesn't mean that you just show up on, you know, on Sunday. That's when you follow.
Yeah, I'm following.
No, you follow every day. It's a part of your life. But you cannot follow without the power of the Holy Spirit. You can't. You try, but you can't. But if you got the power of the Holy Spirit, you got no excuse. But listen to the voice of the stranger. In verse 16, and he who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. In other words, he does not follow. And these signs will follow those who believe. Whoa. Now he's talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And what's the first sign? He says what? In my name they will cast out demons. Why? Because you have power and authority. And you can see them. You'll know their fruit. Hello? You won't be tormented by their shadows. You'll remove them. You'll know when a devil's in the house. You can sense it. Sometimes you can smell the stinky thing. But you'll know what's going on. You'll be able to tell by the fruit. You'll be able to see things. He says, in my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. And that doesn't mean going to, you know, buying one of those cassettes that you learn another language. That means you get baptized in the Holy Ghost and God gives you His language. So you don't have to worry about what you need to pray to Him anymore. You just pray in the Spirit, in tongues. And you speak directly to Him, the perfect will of God. You don't have to pray those soulless prayers anymore. No woes is Mises. And in my name they will cast out devils, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, demonic forces. And they will drink anything deadly, and it will by no means hurt them. It doesn't mean you're going to go out and tempt God and drink cyanide because you'll die. It means if you do it by mistake. Believe me, there's some food I've eaten that should have killed me. And it wasn't for my wife. Hallelujah. And I had to use the scripture to make it through. Lord, you said I can drink anything and eat anything and it won't kill me. Oh, God, help me. And it says, and they will lay hands on the sick. Sick people. And they will recover. They'll be healed. That's power. That's authority. In His name, He says. Why? Because He's granted you to use His name. He's granted you to use His name. Why? Because He is Lord over your life now. See, He can't grant you to use His name if you're not. He's not Lord over your life. Does everybody understand this? It's so important. Yeah, you can pray to Him in the name of Jesus. But if you cast out a devil, especially one that's in your mirror. Hello? Well, you know, I have a problem. I'm still doing the same thing over and over. Well, man, you know what? Because it's bondage. There's a spirit there. You'll know them by their fruits. You know, I wasn't raised this way. I was a demonized varmint. But I was born again this way, where He's Lord over my life, because I realized the life I was living, I didn't want anymore. There wasn't any more, you know, there was no satisfaction. No matter what you did, it wasn't fulfilling. But when Jesus allowed me to accept Him as Savior, because it says He's got to grant you repentance, I accepted Him as Savior. It granted me entrance. And then when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, everything was received. And now I was blessed in heavenly places, in spiritual places, seated with my dad. Granted, eyes who see, the scales came off. I was brand new. That's what's born again. I was able to see, hear differently, speak to him. I realized he was my dad. He wasn't just God. He was my father, and I was his son. See, that's what the baptism of the Holy Spirit brings. It brings relation. It brings restoration back as child and papa. Child and mom. Has everybody got it? The baptism of the Holy Spirit. Power. Telling the body. See, this is what the Lord was telling the body of Christ. Go out and tell, preach the gospel. What was he just talking about? What's this gospel right here that he was just preaching about? Okay, you need to get saved and you need to get filled and empowered with the Holy Spirit. Hello, that's the gospel. Remember, Jesus, the first thing he preached on, he came out of the wilderness, hello? He was empowered by the Spirit, and he went in, and the first words he said to the congregation, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. What was he preaching? He was preaching the gospel of the Spirit. He was telling them about the ministry of the Spirit. He said, man, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Why? Because it's going to be the ministry of the Spirit. And the ministry of the Spirit is a representation of giving breath by the sword of the Spirit, but drinking of the water of the Spirit. So again, the baptism of water is symbolic to being washed by the blood, but it's used by symbolic of water. Water, without water, you can't live in the natural realm, right? But there's the river that he baptizes you with, the river of life, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Spirit meaning drink. The word says that Jesus came by the Spirit, water, and blood in representation of oneness with the Father. Go to Judges 7. Judges chapter 7. And it's, you're never too old to get baptized in the Holy Ghost, okay? There's no age, and you're never too young to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. Judges 7. Let's start at verse 1. Then Zerubbabel, that is Gideon, and all the people who were with him rose early and encamped beside the well of Harod, so that the camp of the Midianites was on the north side of them by the hill of Morah in the valley. And the Lord said to Gideon, the people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel claim glory for itself against me, saying, my own hand has saved me. So the Lord had another plan here. He said, man, there's too many of you dudes. Verse 3. Now therefore proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, whoever is what? Fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart at once from Mount Gilead. And 22,000 of people returned, and 10,000 remained. That means that there was 32,000 dudes out there ready to battle. 22,000 of them said, I'm afraid. Satan's greatest weapon is deception, and his power is fear. And the Lord said to Gideon, the people are still too many. Bring them down to the water. Bring them down to where? The water. Yes, bring them to the river. Let's test them. And I will what? Test them for you there. Then it will be the of whom I say to you, this one shall go with you. The same shall go with you. And of whomever I say to you, this one shall not go with you. The same shall not go with you. So he brought the people down to the water. And the Lord said to Gideon, everyone who laps from the water with his tongue as a dog laps, you shall set apart by himself. Likewise, everyone who gets down on his knees to drink. Now you got to understand, you're going to see a difference here. There were those who were willing to lay their swords down and get down on their knees. There were those who were willing to lap still hold their swords. And the number of those who lapped putting their hand to their mouth was 300 men. But the rest of the people got down on their knees to what? Drink water. In other words, they lost sight. They were more interested in feeding their flesh instead of being alert. And the Lord tested them where? At the water, at the river. And the Lord said to Gideon, by these 300 men who lapped, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into your hand. Let all the other people go and every man to his place. Wow. Is that powerful or what? So we see that God tested him by the water. He tests you by the Spirit. That's why it's so important in this that you and I maintain to be worshipers. Worshipers. Where you truly worship God in spirit and in truth. Now I want to go a little further on this. Verse 8. So the people took provisions and their trumpets in their hands, and he went away, all the rest of Israel, every man to his tent, and retained those 300 men. Now the camp of Midian was below him in the valley. And it happened on the same night that the Lord said to him, arise and go down against the camp, for I have delivered it into your hand. But if you are afraid, go down. Go down to the camp with Peru, your servant, and you shall hear what they say. And afterward your hands shall be strengthened to go down against the camp. Then he went down with the Pura and his servant to the outpost of the armed men who were there in the camp. And the Midianites and the Amalekites of all the people of the east were lying in the valley of numerous as locusts, and their camels were without number as the sand by the seashore in the multitude. And when Gideon had come, there was a man telling a dream to his companion. He said, I have had a dream. To my surprise, a loaf of barley bread tumbled into the camp of Midian. And it came to a tent and struck it so that it fell and overturned, and the tent collapsed. Then his companion answered and said, this is nothing else but the sword of Gideon, the son of Joaz, a man of Israel. And to his hand God has delivered Midian and the whole camp. And so it was when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and its interpretation that he what? He worshiped. What did he do? He got filled because he was filled with the Spirit already. And he returned to the camp of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord has delivered the camp of Midian into your hand. I mean, is this powerful? So here, Gideon, with 300 men, went and kicked butt on all of these guys. There was many of them, thousands, hundreds of thousands of them, most likely. Because there's more than just the Midianites. There's the Amalekites there, too. Is everybody okay? So they were tested by the Spirit. Now, God is going to test you. He tests us by the Spirit. He brings us to the waters. He tests us. In the area of testing us of fear, where are you afraid of? Fear. Now remember, fear protects pride. Because he wants to know where you're prideful at in your life. So he's going to allow fear to be exposed. Are you listening? He wants to know where fear is. So when fear is exposed, he knows that that's protecting something in your life. And fear protects pride, and pride protects self. Go to Luke 1. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1 and verse 11. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him, which was Zacharias, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He shall be what? Filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. So John will be born with the Spirit. And verse 16, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And so we see here that John was filled with the Holy Spirit, and Elizabeth was his mother. Now, I want to share with you the difference between John and Jesus. John was filled with the Holy Spirit. Mary gave birth to the child of the Holy Spirit. Come on, are you listening? So Mary gave birth to the child of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because who impregnated Mary? The Holy Spirit. So Mary gave birth to the child of the Holy Spirit, whom they called the Christ. John was filled with the Holy Spirit. Is everybody okay? And there's a difference. So, now in this, so by the death of Jesus, by his death, would bring reconciliation and salvation as Savior through his flesh. Through his what? Flesh. And I want you to look at this. Jesus is the offspring of the Holy Spirit. He put on flesh and the Word became flesh. His death, because he took all sins on into his flesh, his death, again, would bring reconciliation and salvation as Savior through his flesh. But by the resurrection of his death, would bring his Spirit with gifts and fruits and power so that you and I would have the Spirit of Christ. Are you listening? So by his flesh, when you accept him, you are accepted his death in the flesh that he took the sins on for you so that you can be reconciled and him as Savior. But by his resurrection, by the power of the Spirit, when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, it is available for you to be baptized in the Holy Spirit so that you are now walking with the fruits of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, and the power and authority of the Spirit. There's a difference. So Jesus played two parts with two baptisms. Is everybody okay? And so many believers have never gone to part two. When it was a command from the Lord. Go to Romans 8. And I believe there's going to be a violent move by the Holy Ghost. And I don't mean in damaging. I just mean in an urgent, like, move, a thrusting move of the Holy Spirit to begin to turn God's people around who've not been filled to get filled. Because if they're only being led by the letter, they'll be easily deceived. Are you listening? In Romans 8, verse 12. Can we all read this together, please? Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father, which means Daddy. Why? Because they've been baptized in the Spirit. There's relationship. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which will be revealed where? In us. Come on, let's go a little further. For the earnest expectation of creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. How are they birthed? By the Spirit. For creation was subjected to the futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit. In other words, those who have been baptized in the Holy Ghost. even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, for the redemption of our body, knowing that we will be fully clothed with a glorified body. Is everybody okay? And I'm going to close in Revelation 22. That's why he is the Lord of the spirits. He is the Lord of lords, the King of kings. He is the great I am, the omnipotent, unlimited power and authority. Oh. And he's brought us through. He has made a way for me and you. Revelation 22. Glory. We're going to close here and start afresh. Let's read it together. And he showed me a pure river of water of life. Oh, here we go. This is the one we drink from, you know. See, he's showing it to you. This is there. It's real. It's there. This is what we drink from when we worship. This is the river of life. Clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street, and on either side of the river, was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, and each tree yielding its fruits every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord gives them light. They shall reign forever and ever. Then he said to me, these words are faithful and true. And the Lord God, what's Lord God? Omnipotent, unlimited power and authority of the holy prophets. Send his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly take place. Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Now I, John, saw and heard these things. And when I heard, I saw, I fell to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. And he said to me, see that you don't do that. For I am your fellow servant and of your brethren, the prophets, and of those who keep the words of this book. Worship God. And he said to me, do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. And he who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexual immoral, murderers and idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. Where? In the churches. Hello. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and the morning star. And the spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears says, come. And let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely. Hallelujah. So is he still Savior to you or Lord? Well, he can't be Lord until you're baptized in the Holy Ghost. You can confess it, but I'm sorry, he can't be it. Why? Because that's when he is Lord over your life and you no longer have a life. You are no longer fighting for your life. You have surrendered your life. You no longer live for you. The life that has been granted you in this realm is no longer yours. You live a life of another realm, and this is not your home. And to sustain this life in this realm, you must be filled with the Spirit. Why? Because the only way to sustain it without being deceived is to be filled with the Spirit, so that you are drinking of the river of life that flows from the throne room of God, the one that we just read about in Revelation. It still flows. When you and I drink, when we worship, we drink of that river. and his scales maintain off the eyes. Other than that, the enemy comes and puts those scales back on. And then you can't see spiritually. And the only thing that you can rely on is the letter. But the Bible says the letter kills and the spirit gives life. Why does it kill? Because you can't obey it. If you can't obey it, it will kill you. Is everybody okay? I'm telling you, there is a mighty move of God drawing his children out from teeter-totter. It's time to come out of the playground of carnality and come into the realm of the Spirit. It's time to really get serious with God. It's time to grow and mature in the things of the Spirit. You know, you got to ask yourself, what if everything was shut down and you lost everything? How would you survive? See, in the realm of the Spirit, there's no survival. It's surrender. When you surrender, he provides. Does everybody understand that? He provides. He provides whatever it is. Man, I can tell you miracles upon miracles where he's provided. He's still providing. He's providing for you now. But it's that fine line that we walk out of and go back into the arena in a flesh realm, where we go into survival mode instead of staying in surrender mode. It is our responsibility to stay filled with the Spirit. This is not about a religion. Jesus never intended to bring religion. I am not religious. But I am free. I am free. I'm empowered by the Spirit of Christ. That makes me his son. That makes you his son, his daughter. Where there's relationship. Where I no longer look at him as just God.
Oh my God.
He is my dad. He is my father. He's my mother. He's my everything. He's not just God anymore. If he's still just God to you, you need to get baptized in the Holy Ghost and maintain that relationship. It's time. Because time is running out. And without the power and authority of the anointing of Christ, it's going to be very difficult not to be deceived. Because you'll never be able to make what is unseen to become seen. That means you'll always run in a cycle and there'll always be limitations on your life. It's time to break those off and get in the Spirit. Amen? Is everybody okay? Praise God. Make that decision today. Seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We have teachings on them and prayers on them. Don't quit until it happens. It's a promise from the Father. And he commanded us to. Don't, you know what? So many people are so concerned. Well, what do I need to give up? You. Don't worry about what you got to give up. Just you give up first, man. You don't have the authority to get rid of anything. Get authority first. Get power. Then you'll find things begin to move. You know, Jesus didn't clean the fish before he caught them. Salvation is the catch. Then there's the cleaning and repairing. Then there's the empowering. Then there's the sending. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise. We thank you for your word today. And Lord, we look forward to the violent move of your Spirit. We look forward to it, Lord. And Lord, help us to keep open hands, arms open wide, to greet your people who you're sending so that they may be filled and baptized in the Holy Spirit. Whether you're sending them to our homes and anybody's home, where you're sending them to our jobs, wherever you're sending them, Lord. Lord, let us be filled with your Spirit and sensitive to the call and the voice of the Holy Spirit. Lord, allow the seed to grow and bear fruit for your glory. And let the power of the anointing of the Holy Spirit break every yoke of bondage and bring revelation and confirmation in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Hallelujah.